This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a pain-free Friday. Pharrell's doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up. 100, 200, the bad city, broken day, bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad after bad day, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attention, bad vibes. We are live in the Quicken Loans studios in New York City. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Mortgage confidently. People dress in plastic bags, direct to traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do be. All my friends that come around, flats and flats, party up, rants on the west side, bedbugs uptown, what a mess, the tides are tattered, my brains are splattered all over my hand, should do be. Shake it up. Are you with us tonight from New York? 855-212-4227. 855-212-4227 is the number to get on the bench. Jason Sobel will join us from the Action Network. It's a gambling network. He's the senior golf writer for them. It's interesting. So they got the great golf writer in there now. What, gambling on golf?
Yes.
Jason got a little action when he goes out to the course now. He's betting on head-to-head.
He tweets while he's out there on the round, like, I gave you one. He had, like, this morning at the start. Get on the live line maybe if you want with Matsuyama at plus 7,500. You know,
really?
Yeah, he's actually a great golf writer. He was with ESPN before there, and he was with Golf Channel on their site before that. So now he's like our boy, Matt Moore with the basketball there, dipping their toes in the
is he over there now, too?
Matt Moore is with the Action Network also, yeah.
So Chad Millman is over there, and he was at ESPN, so he must have lured Sobel over there.
Very possible.
We'll talk to him in 12 minutes. Brian McNally at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific from the sports capital in D.C. Senior staff writer will talk about Darius Geis's ACL tear. He's done. So what does that do to the Redskins? And we'll get into that tonight as well. Preseason going on. I feel it. I'm a winner. What the hell am I doing here with a summer cold? I can't even breathe. Long hair. Of control. I want a perfect body. I want a perfect soul. I got your soul right here, baby. I want you to know this. I'm not around. I know you like it. Special. I wish I was special. I'm a creep. You know Pharrell's a creep. I'm a winner. What the hell am I doing here? I don't belong here. Should have been a rock star, Mafia. Sam Darnold made his debut tonight and looked incredible. I thought he looked incredible.
Yeah, he had that two-minute drive. Then that first half where he scored the touchdown and essentially got three touchdowns on one because he threw one that went right through the guy's hand on second down that he should have just walked into the end zone.
Right.
With. Then threw it again on third down. The guy caught it, got the touchdown. I got called for the push-off. So they pushed him back 10 yards and on like third and goal from like the 15, ran a little scramble, bought some time, threw it to the guy. Beautiful pass right to the corner.
So at this point, he's thrown for 83 yards or something and a touchdown. Teddy Bridgewater, though, threw for a touchdown. I thought he looked good, Mafia.
He did.
7 of 8. And he looked like his knee looks fine.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely up in his value. This is good for him. I mean, he knows that he's not going to be the future here once they drafted Darnold. So to have a performance like this, someone gets hurt in the next week or two and he continues to look pretty good in the preseason, he'd get a shot somewhere.
I mean, without a doubt. Do you think that, seriously, though, like, if he were healthy, do you think he's better than McCown? If he's healthy, because I do.
Probably. I mean, McCown played great for them last year, but he is older. I mean, this is the back end of his career. He's got, you know, date, maybe year, two tops left. Teddy's still, I think, only like, what, 26 or 27?
He's young, but he's been a starter, and he did really
been
well.
A starter. He was well. He's very athletic. I mean, if his knee is holding up because he was out for nearly 2 years, then he could very well be another starter and a great player again for someone.
So, anyway, the numbers don't show it, but I thought Darnold looked really good tonight. I really do. He threw with confidence. He looked good in the pocket. He got hurt. Like, his hand got spiked with a cleat, and he was bleeding. He didn't even care. He's like, get out of my way. I'm going in.
Well, he was 3 for 9 in the second half, so most of his damage came in that at the end of that second quarter that
right.
He was in the game. So he didn't do much after halftime.
So once they gave him like the third and fourth stringers, it went downhill, which is understandable.
So he's still in there handing the ball off right now, right?
Yeah, there's only like 3 minutes left in the game.
And they're going to win this game, the Jets. So anyway, I thought he looked pretty good, all things being equal. So there's other games. The Lions and Raiders are set to go at the bottom of the hour. I'll have that on all night. We'll see how Detroit and Oakland look. After several players either kneeled or stayed in the locker room last night during the NFL games, President Trump went back on the offensive early in the morning, tweeting that players need to find another way to protest. Will this ever end? I say no, because it's blatantly obvious that Malcolm Jenkins and many others are going to continue to kneel and raise fists and protest during the anthem. And it seems as though the teams have no problem with it at all. The only person that has a problem with it, I think, is the president. And I think some fans don't like it. Because he's got his swell of support, right? Like, everyone that loves Trump now hates the NFL. Is that about it, right? I mean, whatever he says goes, and they follow him, follow the leader, right? If he says don't go to NFL games, they won't go. And they won't buy the tickets, they won't buy the merchandise, and they're not going to watch. He thinks they should be suspended without pay. I think he's obsessed with himself. That's pretty obvious that he has to be in the middle of everything, right? Like, so he stuck his nose in the NFL's business all last year, right? And now he's doing it again just so he can be literally involved in everything, right? Like, what doesn't he stick his nose in? I saw tonight on the network news that that Amorosa girl has written a book about him saying that he's a racist and and then, of course, he says she's a lying, thieving, blah, 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 blah. So this guy fights with everyone. You know, he reminds me, the two of them, Dana White and him, the two bullies in town. Everyone's, you know, if you're not on his side, then you're the enemy. And then they stop at nothing to ridicule people that don't follow their lead or their views. Is that not accurate? Like, I mean, how painful is this guy getting involved in the NFL every day? I mean, is it not, like, ridiculous at some point? With actual games now being played, injuries have started across the NFL. The Redskins, we already told you, Darius Guy's torn ACL. He'll miss the season. Tom Brady didn't play for the Pats, but is allegedly dealing with a sore back, if you believe that. The 100th PGA Championship in St. Louis had weather issues all day, and play was suspended with several golfers now needing to finish early tomorrow morning and then play the third round. Before the rains hit, Gary Woodland set a 36-hole record as he sits in the lead, I believe, at 10 under. Some major players right on his heels. Will Woodland be able to go wire to wire and win the Forella Maker trophy? Also, this weekend, Barry Bonds gets his number retired in San Francisco. And I will once again talk about Barry Bonds being the fastest hands I've ever seen swing a baseball bat and the most amazing baseball player I ever saw. He wasn't my favorite player that I ever watched play baseball in the majors, but he was, I think he was the best that I ever saw play. Like the guy, now everyone says he cheats and everything else and he's on roids. We all know that. Like he's been accused of everything. He basically, in not so many words, admitted it. In his many court appearances that he inadvertently took them, which is the funniest thing I've ever heard. No one inadvertently takes them and then hits 700 and something home runs. So the bottom line is, I've said this before, I think he would have been a Hall of Famer based on his Pittsburgh numbers alone before he went to San Francisco and blew up like the Michelin Man. I thought he was a 40-40 guy in Pittsburgh. He was the first to do it. He was unbelievable. And his speed and arm and outfield skills and his hitting, it was just absolutely phenomenal what the guy did in his career in Pittsburgh when he came up. And then what he did in San Francisco was just break every record known to man. And nobody, they all won an asterisk by his name. But the bottom line is, the guy's the best I ever saw. I never saw anything like it. I would go to the games in Pittsburgh and in San Francisco. I lived there when he went to the Giants, and the guy hit a home run every day.
I think it's absolutely deserved for him to get that in San Francisco. They love him there no matter what. He's absolutely loved in that town. It's the only town around across Major League Baseball.
He can do no wrong.
But they love him there. He deserves to get what he's getting there this week.
There you go. But you don't put him in the Hall of Fame ever? He's at like 57%?
I put him in.
I put him and Clemens in. That's just me.
I don't. Once you got that taint on you, the tainted, reputation, you can't really differentiate the numbers. You don't know when it was.
I'm in here dying. Are you watching this?
I am watching that,
This is not good. I'm in here sneezing my brains out. Anyway, football's back in the biggest way possible. College football's so close. Pro games are underway now. If you want the best picks, PharrellOnTheBench.com has them every game, every sport, every day, baseball, boxing, MMA, daily fantasy rosters. It's all there. Sign up now for PharrellOnTheBench.com. You won't regret it. It's the cheapest handicapping service anywhere and the best results. Trust me. Listen to the show. Fans call in all the time. They're like, Pharrell, you're kicking ass and taking names and making me all kinds of fat stacks.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, so... Jason had to do something, so Michael Williams is going to come on.
Yeah, Jason got caught up.
So we're going to go with Michael Williams from the PGA coming up at 10:40.
Did you see the weather there today? Did you see?
I just saw that. I didn't see the weather. I just saw they stopped playing.
Did you see that everybody was draining everything all over the course? I mean, it was just 63s, 64s. I mean, it was everybody was shooting big numbers. It was
right,
crazy.
So by the time it's over, it could be 20 under.
I mean, the one dude, your boy Gary there is at minus 10. I mean, Koepka shot a 63 today, and he's sitting at minus 8.
What's next, a 59 tomorrow?
Unbelievable.
So I want to go back to, first of all, I want to get calls on about Trump. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to GEICO.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Bob in Philly, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Uncle Fucelli, can I get a Miller Lite, please?
Can we get him a Miller, the champagne of beers?
Hey, man, you mentioned, obviously, Trump and his anthem stance. I'm a Trump supporter. I am one of his swells of supporters, I guess you would say. But this anthem stuff, he needs to stop and shut his mouth. It needs to come to an end. He's got a million and other seven things to worry about. And these guys have earned the platform that they're on to protest what they feel is right. And this is their only platform to protest it on. What else are they going to do? They're not hurting anyone in doing this. And it's about time that he just lets it go, because it's never going to end. And I will fully support the players who continue to deny his pressing for this protest to end. They should stay in locker room, raise fists, take a knee, do whatever you want. If you protest for what you feel is right and you earn the platform to do it on, you go ahead with your bad self.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. The thing is about the president is it's like I said before, he's willing to stick his nose in everything. Like, it doesn't matter what it is. He's just in everything. I mean, you name it, he's involved in it. There's scandals with porn stars. You know, it just never ends. Like, the litany of things he sticks his nose in. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, the football, this is 2 years now he's done it. You know, he slams, like, players left and right. Now, today he said, in not so many words, that they're all stupid, right? He said that they don't even know what they're protesting, when that couldn't be further from the truth. I mean, they know exactly what they're protesting. You know, it's racial inequality, police abuse, things of this nature. And I think we're past, like, trying to figure out what they're protesting, right? I mean, aren't we well aware of what their protest is all about in this world? The abuses that go on with, you name it, politics, police, government, whatever. But he's, like, saying they're all stupid, and they don't even know what they're protesting. And that's just not the case. Like, what scandal isn't this guy involved in? I mean, now he's in a scandal with some chick that doesn't matter. I mean, honestly, like, are you kidding me? The press, the publicity this Omarosa chick gets? Like, who are you? I don't get it. Some chick that was on Big Brother and on The Apprentice is now bringing the White House down to its knees. How embarrassing is that? And then the porn stars, one after the next. I mean, and then the going back to even the election, the guy with the Billy Bush thing. Do you remember in his little bus talking about grabbing crotch? I mean, this guy, it is so embarrassing. I mean, I honestly, I've told you a million times, I worked for the guy. I always got along with him and his sons. They're a New York institution. They've been here running their business forever. I always liked them and got along with them and worked for them and got paid by them. I don't have a problem with the guy. Although I think that ever since he's been elected, and God only knows how that happened, but the fact is, ever since he's been in there, I mean, you can't deny, no one can deny what the economy's doing and, you know, the things that he's done. I'm not going to sit here and deny that he's done stuff successfully, and that things are you know, going well in certain facets of the world, economy and everything else. And there's no doubt the guy stands up for this country. I'm not going to deny that. He's like, he's obsessed with it, right? That you're not going to push us around and you're not going to take advantage of us and trade and everything else. But his just incessant sticking his nose in everything that I don't understand it. Like, I cannot believe that the president of the United States of America, the most powerful man on the face of the earth, is wasting his time talking about hookers and porn stars and, you know, reality television stars. And football players, he's obsessed with himself. He just can't stop being in the middle of all this controversy. And I've never in my life, and I'll never understand this as long as I live, that a president of the United States is tweeting all day about this stuff. Like, are you kidding me? I mean, do you remember when the guy used to have, like, the president of the United States would have, like, a press conference, like, you know, once a month or something? And then they'd have, like, a speech to the country at night in prime time on network television. That doesn't happen anymore. Now they just have this guy tweet all day. And then he has that crazy chick that runs his White House. She's, I mean, what a load she is. Tell me she isn't painful. I don't care what anybody says. That chick is painful as all hell, and I don't know where they found her, but she's the most painful person, I think, on the face of the earth, besides him. And then it's just, you know, stay out of the NFL, dude. No one gives a rat's ass what you think. Honestly. I mean, it is just, you know what this guy's going to do? He's going to ruin another NFL season. Do you realize that this guy ruined the NFL season last year? You can't deny it. He did. He did ruin it because ratings tanked, revenue, everything that they did, merchandise, everything tanked. People weren't watching football. People stopped buying tickets. They stopped buying merchandise. People stopped going to the games. People stopped watching the games. That's all there is to it. And there are all his legions of fans that are obsessed with him. And I get that. That's fine. Have at it. Be, you know, that's your guy. Support him all you want. Have at it. You know, congratulations. I mean, I don't tell anyone who to believe in politically. I really don't. I'm not a political person. But I do find that he does things that are so bizarre to me, very bizarre, that a world leader, literally the biggest leader in the world, wastes his time. I mean, honestly, does he not have better things to do than to talk about how stupid football players are? How about how stupid he is, sleeping with all the porn stars and paying them all off, and his corrupt little lawyer, Michael Cohen? How about that guy? What a backstabber he turned into. But I'm sick and tired of waking up every day and seeing this guy stick his big fat ass in everything. Like the NFL with your big fat ass. Lose some weight, fat ass. I mean, honestly, you are so painful. Like, just do something else. Go to Scotland and have all those people hate your guts for your crappy golf courses over there that they can't stand. Those people over there want him dead. They hate him. Honestly, everyone in Scotland hates his guts. Because he built those golf courses there and ruined everyone's life and tried to buy out everyone's land. I mean, this guy has turned it. It's unbelievable that 2 years in a row now he's stuck his nose in the NFL's business. Like, and they don't even listen to him anymore. They're like, yeah, whatever, dude. Everyone continues to protest.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
All right, Michael Williams is back on the bench from the 19th Hole podcast on golf, WRX.com. You hear him on the bench a lot when we're talking about golf. Hey, Mike.
Hey, y'all heard? How you doing, buddy?
What's happening, brother? Everything good?
Oh, it's all good. You know, it's D.C., so it's steamy and controversial, as you've been talking about. You know, that's my other gig. I do politics on Voice of America. So you're in both my wheelhouses today. I'm ready.
Well, what do you think of that? What do you think of, like, the stuff I'm sitting here? What do you think of this guy getting involved in all the president getting involved in all this stuff? And he just never stops. Like, it seems like to me, it's like a distraction from his own problems that they're trying to bring him down, this Mueller guy. And then so instead he goes around getting involved in all this other nonsense, like fighting with the NFL. And I think it's like banging his head against a wall. I don't know what purpose it serves.
You know, I have not had access to the window where you crawl around and get into his headspace and, you know, think about what he's thinking. Like you, I have dealt with the guy over the years, and I thought that he was going to be the next president or the next commissioner of the PGA Tour after Tim Fincham. I wrote an article a few years back saying that he would be the perfect guy to be the next one because he does do golf very, very well, and he knows the whole television thing, which is about 76% of the job is negotiating television rights. I thought that would have been the perfect job for him. I do think, Pharrell, that leader of the free world is not an entry-level position. I think you probably ought to have, you know, a little experience, maybe school board or something, going into that whole thing. And so it's probably a little confusing as to what's important and what's not. When you're in that seat, probably every single thing thinks important. And when there's nobody to tell you that everything that you think is not important, well, then that becomes even a bigger problem.
You don't think that the NFL is listening to him or the players? Because the more he talks, the more they do it.
I think that they certainly listen to him and they respond to him, but they don't respond and bend to in the way that he would want them to. They're not capitulating to this thought that the players ought to stop this and that they're un-American, that sort of thing. Quite the contrary. I think that the more that he protests their protests, it brings into sharp contrast what really is the epitome of Americanism, which is this idea of free speech and being able to express your views, especially in a nonviolent way. So the more he does this, I think the more that he sort of puts himself in a set of political Chinese handcuffs. You know, the tighter he, the more he tries to get out of it, the tighter it ensnares him.
Do you think that he's gonna is gonna get worse before it gets better?
I do think it's gonna get worse. I mean, you know Donald Trump, and you know that he is who he is. He's not going to change. You know, he's a 71, 72-year-old man. He's not going to change. He's going to become more and more entrenched in his views. And you know, in some ways, it does serve him well because amongst his base, you know, it gets stronger and stronger, and the affection and the ties to him grow deeper and deeper every time he tweets out this sort of thing. But, you know, when you're the president of the United States, you're president of, you know, the whatever percent that voted for you and the – also the percent that didn't. And I think that's the one thing he hasn't caught on to. You have to be president of the entire country, not just those that support you. So at some point, yeah, I think that it will sort of corrode his ability to lead the entire country. You can lead your base, but you have to lead the entire country.
What about how do you feel about his and I'm just going to ask one last question about him and then get into the PGA. What do you think about his, you know, he owns a lot of golf courses. Like, so yep. Bedminster, Ireland, Scotland, he's got them all over the world. And yep. He's all about, you know, land, property, condos, golf courses, resorts, you know, things of this nature. What do people in golf think of him? Because I know those people over in Europe hate him.
Yeah, okay, so tough to generalize, and I don't want to speak for the entire golf population. I would speak for the general golf media. Again, everybody's dealt with him and thinks, you know, I worked with a number of guys who are like Donald Trump, and I think that the general feeling amongst the golf media is that this is a guy who has been sort of a seducer, you know, in his life. What he does is not only women, he seduces men, you know, to get into this deal, to get into this piece of property, to get into this thing. He manages to say exactly what he needs to say to do those things. So it's no surprise the way that he's governing, because everyone who's dealt with him has seen sort of that same thing. You know, he sort of, in a way, when you're dealing with him and he's not doing anything that's super important, like, you know, diplomacy and nuclear weapons, he's sort of like this, you know, this slap on the back, funny kind of guy. But when you get into more serious things, you know, it's all that stuff takes on a different cast. And I think that, you know, the golf media, you know, doesn't take golf as seriously as it does the rest of the world and the rest of politics. And so we can sort of parse those two things out into a guy who does golf very well and a guy who's really trying to find his feet as an international leader.
So what do you think, Michael Williams with us from the 19th Hole podcast, do you think Gary Woodland, who's this big hitter and he went out and got his round in today, that he can keep doing this all weekend?
Yeah, you know, that's a hard segue, man. I'm going to need a drink to handle that one. Double Michter.
I believe that.
Thank you. Gary Woodland is a big hitter. He's known for having a big driver, and he used to be known for having this really short putter, man. If you ever saw him, he had like this 27-inch putter, and he looked like Michelle Wie with the tabletop thing, you know, for a while. And I know, try to sleep with that image.
That's awesome.
Gary Woodland right now is playing like you need to play to win any major championship. He's hitting over 80% of his greens in regulation, and he's just bombing the ball out there. The greens are pretty soft, pretty slow, and receptive. So when you can be long and with your driver and accurate with your short iron, you're going to be at 10 under. Yeah, I picked the winner at 16 under going into this week on this type of golf course because the PGA doesn't set it up like the USGA where they want to protect par and the whole thing. They want to see guys make birdies and eagles and that sort of thing. Gary Woodland is the type of guy who can hold on, but when you look at the pack of horses that's behind him, not likely that you'll see him on top of the leaderboard on Sunday.
So, I mean, the funny thing is like he's playing great and he's 10 under, but everyone's so far in his garage. They're so close. Kisner's one back, Koepka, two-time major winner, two back, DJ, and, you know, many others right there. I mean, the list of heavyweights in that, you know, in that range of 3 under to 10 under is insane.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that leaderboard is stocked. You got Molinari, who's only sort of 5 shots back. And you didn't mention him, but is there any more intriguing than Tiger right now, who's 3 under through 5 holes, I believe, you know, or through 8 holes. And, you know, he birdied three of his first four. I think no one was sorrier to see this rain delay than Tiger Woods, because he was hitting the ball as well as I've seen him hit it through this entire comeback phase. I mean, he was hitting it with confidence, finding fairways, draining putts to save par. I mean, this is a guy who could get himself by the end of the round to 7-8 under, you know, with 4 or 5 birdies on that back nine. So yeah, there are a lot of horses who have a lot of reasons to win. You had,
but how does he? I'm sorry. But how does he like pick up at 8 where he's, you know, 3 under in the round and playing so great, and then he's gonna have to play 27 holes, but he's gonna have to start at number 8. How do you go from being that hot to starting like that on number 8 and then going for that many holes in one day in that steamy 100-degree weather?
Yeah, again, I think that's where the age of the man, you know, like they say, Father Time is undefeated. So it's going to be very difficult for him to play. Those last 9 are going to be tough for him. And this is where we'll see not only how the back, but just his overall stamina, how that holds up through those last 9 rounds. You know, 30-year-old Tiger, no problem. He'll play those 27 and be ready to play another 27. 42, 43-year-old Tiger, quite another thing. But I think for that first 9, I think, yeah, he has a position. He's in a position to finish his second round tomorrow in a really good position. Now, whether he can carry that through and play another 18 at that level, that remains to be seen.
What's the – Michael Williams with us from the 19th Hole podcast on golf, WRX.com. What is the weather supposed to be like for the weekend?
Same thing. I mean, we have storm cells moving through, and it depends on how they hit, if they actually hit and move through, or if they hit and decide to settle. So they're just going to be looking at the radar all weekend long. You know, no one wants to see, you know, these guys have to play 36 on Sunday or something like that. You know, but this is St. Louis in the summertime. You know, this is what plagues actually the PGA Championship when they play it in August. You get these courses that you play, no matter where you play them in the United States, you're going to get this issue of having these rain delays, because that's what August is across the United States. Now, they're moving the championship to May as of next year, partly because of that reason, because you have better weather systems and you can actually play a major championship in Florida. I mean, you got 57 million golfers or something, you know, in Florida, and you don't have a major championship played there. In May, when you hold the championship in May, you'll be able to do that. So they'll be looking at the weather, you know, trying to do their best. They'll squeeze in as much as they can, you know, and you crush fingers, you know, pray to God that you get the tournament in before it gets dark on Sunday.
So I got 1 minute left, respectfully. After all this is said and done, who do you think pokes through and wins it?
You know, at this point where he's playing, I like DJ. DJ has so much horsepower, he has the ability to get hot. When these slow greens, you know, these are the types of greens where you really just sort of see it, be it, you know, and hit it at the hole. There's not as much break in them because they're playing slower. So I look like the combination of DJ's length, his extraordinary wedge play, and the fact those slower greens sort of really fit his putting style. I see DJ as my favorite to finish this one as the winner. Brooks Koepka.
All right, cool. Yeah, I like Koepka too. And Kisner's playing great golf. We'll see what he does over the weekend. I'm kind of rooting for Ricky to finally break through because he always ends up on the short end of it. But I can't wait to see it. Hopefully the weather will hold up and we'll get it all in. I'm sure we will at some point or another by Sunday. Mike, great stuff. Thanks for coming in and talking about the PGA Championship with us. Enjoy the golf this weekend.
Yeah, you too, brother. Always good to be on the show. Appreciate it.
My man, Michael Williams, 19th Hole podcast on golf. WRX.com. He's a regular on the bench. Coming up, Brian McNally to talk about the Redskins problems and Darius Geis's knee blowout in their preseason game. This preseason is nothing but trouble.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.